The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today
FM. Sarah Slattery from thetravelexpert.ie. What is a coolcation?
Hi, Matt. Yeah, it's a good old buzzword, isn't it? It kind of popped up at the beginning of the year as a new travel trend for people looking to go to cooler climates. And, you know, big companies, Condé Nast or Booking.com, a lot of them came out with this is going to be the travel trend of the year. And I suppose in Ireland, because we always want sun holidays, it wasn't something that we thought would catch on. Maybe in other countries where they have sun, they might go looking for cooler climates. But yeah, it looks like it has kind of caught on a bit in Ireland as well. I just heard on the headlines there that we've 13 consecutive months of record-breaking temperatures. So, you know, I suppose if it hasn't caught on yet, it's probably only a matter of time before we start looking for these cooler climates.
Okay, I know last year, and I had a couple of holidays last year, one was a bit a coolcation, I'll get to it in a second. The other was the temperatures were hitting 40 degrees in Croatia, and beautiful and all as the place was, it was just too hot. So the first location that you actually have suggested we talk about is one that I visited in June last year, Bergen in Norway.
Now, great.
It's a beautiful spot.
Yeah, funny. It's on my own bucket list. I haven't been there myself yet, but I think it's really Norway in general is having a bit of a moment. I don't know if you've seen the new Oslo, the tourism video for Oslo. It's kind of completely sarcastic, basically telling us why you shouldn't visit, which kind of makes you want to go. And it's just gone absolutely viral. It's the best tourism video I've seen in a long time. So, and it just brought a lot of attention on Norway, but Bergen for me looks like the nicer of the two cities to visit. It's the second largest city. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site there with a colourful wharf. You can probably tell us more about this. That looks gorgeous with these wooden buildings. And then, of course, it's the gateway to the fjords as well. So there's a lot to do on a holiday if you do decide to go to Bergen. And we've direct flights there as well.
Yeah, it's the type of place. So I think maybe a day or two would do you, because I said we were actually on one of these cruises going through the fjords on the western side of Norway for the week, which was absolutely beautiful, getting on and off every day, a couple of very big mountain or hill walks that took hours up to the heights, beautiful. Bergen itself, things like the outdoor fish market. Now, some of the stuff you look at, there's, you know, they've got packaged whale and moose and all sorts of things. You wonder, hang on, how are they selling whale as a food to eat? I would have thought that would have been stopped. But it's a beautiful, beautiful town. And then you also can take a cable car up onto the hills overlooking the city and the rest of it. But it rained the day we were there. We arrived in and it was sunny and it started, and then the rain came bucketing down. And in our week in Norway, we had this mix between beautiful sunny weather and some beautiful days and out around the fjords, and it was gorgeous. But also the rain came bucketing down on a couple of occasions, like being in the west of Ireland in June. And I just wonder, do people really want to go and get weather in places that could be like what they're escaping at home?
Yeah, I mean, funny, when I was writing this piece first, I felt like just saying stay in Ireland, because if you want to avoid the heat. But no, I suppose if you are going to go to some of these places, it is important that you go somewhere where there is a lot to do. And like as you said, you know, Bergen is between the seven different mountains there. It's great for hiking. You've got the cable car, the funicular. You've also got the Bergen Railway, which is supposed to be one of the best train journeys in the world. But of course, you know, all of this, none of the scenery or none of the sights are pretty if you're going to get the rain.
Okay, we'll still be over. Actually, we did one very long hike, two hours it took going uphill. And when we got to the top of the mountain to see the views, the clouds had come down and we could see absolutely nothing. Let's move to other places, but I would recommend Norway. Was fascinating to go to. Iceland is one that I've thought about for a long time. And again, just for maybe a 3 or 4 day break. And could this be a good time of year to do it?
Yeah, I think as well. I mean, we had the Northern Lights in Ireland there a couple of months ago. So a lot of people had been going to Iceland in the winter time to see the Northern Lights. That was a big part of it, and to bathe in the Blue Lagoon. But actually, the summer is a good time to go. You've got your nearly 24 hours of daylight, so you've lots more time to see all the natural wonders. But also, the big thing about the summer is there's a lot of the places in the winter you can't actually get to. So the West Fjords and the remote highlands highlands, the real wilderness, the real wild part of Iceland. You can't actually get, the roads are impassable due to the snow. So summer is a good time to see that. If you want to see those dramatic waterfalls and the volcanoes and the fjords, this summertime is the best time. It's also the best time to go whale watching as well in Iceland. So there, and there's loads of flights, you know, with Play Airlines and Icelandair. There's daily flights. So again, it's another option. It's one maybe sometimes people always associate with going in the wintertime.
And what about going to places that are ski locations during the winter and spring months, but actually can be good places without the snow for walking tours, like Austria, for example?
Exactly. Austria as well. Temperatures should be warmer here as well. And all of those resorts in the Alps are all, they use all those cable cars, all the gondolas, they're all in play to bring you up the mountains. You can walk down. Some of the runs are, there's toboggan runs there. There are mountain biking trails. Like a lot of the ski slopes are changed in the summer to kind of to facilitate that. You've got outdoor pools, lots of hot tubs, and of course they're resorts. So they're, you know, you've got huge choice of shops, bars, and restaurants, like a kind of a hot, more of a holiday resort than a city. So Austria would be a great destination. Of course, again, plenty of outdoor activities to do if you want to do hiking. Things. Also lots of music festivals there in the summertime. Now there aren't direct flights to Salzburg, but the Munich is very accessible. It's about 90 minutes. So there's a lot of package holidays with Top Flight and TUI that do these kind of lakes and mountains holidays. Of course there are direct flights to Vienna as well if you want to see the other side. But if you want those kind of typical ski resorts with all the same sort of you know, adventure outdoor activities, then the Munich would probably be the best option.
What about sun holiday destinations where the temperatures won't get too high, such as, for example, northern France?
Yeah, this is what I'm asked the most, really, because at the end of the day, as lovely as Norway and all these places are, we want sun, you know. So places like Brittany and Normandy in northern France are a good option. There's loads of campsites there. Of course, there's so many different ferries available now. I mean, I lost track trying to look at them all, between Brittany ferries to Roscoff and Irish ferries to Cherbourg and Stenaline. Like, there's just so many options. And then there's a lot of flights as well. There's flights to Rennes, there's flights to Nantes. There's, you know, lots of different, very, very accessible. And like, it's not just about beaches. You've got, of course, all the World War II battlegrounds and Omaha Beach. You can do there's so much history to see in Normandy. You can go to Mont-Saint-Michel. Like, there's actually so much to do in that whole area. And you can go further south as well, down to La Rochelle, around the Vendée region, loads more campsites down there. I think a lot of the time when people look at France, they tend to go further south. But actually, if you want to avoid the heat, the northern France could be a great one.
And then one final one, the Canary Islands. I mean, that's been a traditional Irish sunspot, but is that actually one that has retained slightly lower temperatures that might be more palatable to the Irish, particularly those with very pale skin?
Yeah, I mean, during the summertime, the Canary Islands and Madeira, their location kind of off the coast of Africa. I don't know if it's or not now au fait, but I think it's because of its location near the equator. The temperatures, they don't kind of get that massive spike. They rarely get higher than 27, 28 degrees. So it's kind of consistent temperatures year round, rather than, you know, the massive heat waves we've seen in Greece and Turkey and Italy and places like that. They're also quite windy as well, particularly Fortaventura. It's a windy island, so it always feels cooler. And then Tenerife is a good one as well, because Tenerife is kind of split in two. There's a volcano in the middle, and the north part of Tenerife generally is cooler than the south. So yeah, there's lots of different parts of the Canaries that would generally, I mean, they'll still be hot, but they won't be, they shouldn't get those kind of 40 degrees that we're seeing on holidays at the moment.
We'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Sarah Slattery from the travelexpert.ie.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.